Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tennis, swimming, lacrosse, whatever you need me to play, I'm going to go do it. If there's some money on the line, I'm going to go do it.
You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say I'm going to Cleveland on vacation.
But if y'all waiting on me to apologize, hell going to freeze.
Wait. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for.
Welcome, everybody, to the Points in the Paint podcast, Stadium's NBA, number one NBA podcast. Ben Wittenstein.
Zach Badgerhouse, always in the house. Ben, how are you doing, sir? There were tons of basketball this weekend. Did you catch any of it?
I tried to catch as much as I could because I was in the lovely city of New Orleans, and I was having a great old fun time being a part of a bachelor party, but I did, and we caught a lot of NBA games, so it was fun. I'm a little tired, a little exhausted, but we got to watch a bunch of NBA games, so, you know, it was a good time. Time well spent.
Okay, that's good, that's good. I saw some Brooklyn Nets, I saw some Warriors.
Yep. I watched the Pacers, unfortunately, not be able to beat the Suns.
They've been
when they were down
bus.
Ayton and Chris Paul, and without Halliburton, they're bad.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that.
It's been a struggle bus with them. Both LA teams seem to kind of find their groove a little bit.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get into that a little bit. I wanted to talk about them because we never really talk, you know, we don't really talk LA. We don't talk big markets, do we? We don't talk big markets that much.
Yeah, occasionally. Chicago, only to crap on them.
Yeah, well, for you to crap on them, not necessarily me. I'm the one with all the optimism as it relates to the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, somehow. We need one of us to be optimistic about them, I guess. We can't be all Debbie Downers. But yeah, let's do one big thing.
Just one thing. One thing.
OBT, one big thing being LA teams. They are doing some things. They won back-to-back games, both teams. And the Lakers even came back from down 25 points against the Portland Trailblazers the other night.
Yeah.
I was proud of that because I think that was the second time they've come back from a, 10-point, 15-point plus deficit in their games. I mean, I know they were down in the Memphis Grizzly game throughout the majority of that game. That game got spicy even off the court, as we saw Shannon Sharp versus everybody out there. I don't know if you saw those videos on social media, but it was something.
I did. It was the thing here about the LA team, Zach, for me is
okay.
They're playing well recently, but I have no trust in them to continue playing well consistently. Neither team, not the Lakers, not the Clippers. And I will say this about the Lakers. They are, you know, they've won 6 of their last 10. Honestly, they probably should have 2 or 3 more wins out of their belt if it weren't for some questionable officiating
against them
on some of the things. They definitely got screwed by the officials throughout a couple of these games recently in the past couple of weeks, whether it be Russell Westbrook getting fouled, and we talked about that last week, or some bad calls that they did not get towards the end of games. So they have 22 wins on the season, probably should have 24. So they should be 24-23.
Look at you.
They probably should be over 500, but they do have their issues, so I don't want to say that maybe they don't deserve to lose these games, but they certainly have been on the wrong end of some calls.
Yeah, they have.
I'll say that.
They have, and I'm proud of you for sitting there. Look at you standing up for the Los Angeles Lakers.
I don't like myself for doing it, but you got to call a spade sometimes.
You do got to call a spade a spade. Look at you being a real one. Shout out to you for calling out the officials for not giving the LA Lakers those calls. They definitely should be at least 24 and 25, you know, a little higher up there in the standings. They definitely be at least 9th or 8th as opposed to 12th outside
of
the standings. So I will give you that. I'm on board with you for that. Now, the Clippers, on the other hand, I tweeted this the other day. And Ben, I feel like you may agree. You may or may not agree. I'm not sure. But don't you feel like the Clippers should have, like, the best record in the NBA based off the season roster before they came out this year?
100%. And I think, you know, you could look back at kind of what my picks were. I think we still have it in the sheet. But, you know, I talked about the Clippers, I'm sure, for some of our final teams and, you know, making it to the Western Conference Finals, things like that. And they definitely should have on paper. You have Kawhi. You have Paul George. You have John Wall. And the three unhealthiest guys in the NBA in terms of bodily injuries. So they, we maybe should have seen it coming from a mile away. We did not, and they have not been good. And I've been betting them. I've been watching them. And, you know, we talk about chemistry, too, and how important that is, especially once we get down to the end of the NBA season.
It really is.
If the Clippers aren't going to have people playing all the time, that chemistry is going to be tough. So they have a long road ahead, I think, as a team.
Yeah.
But, again, they are one of those teams because of the talent that they have. They can go on a five-game win streak whenever they want.
They can, but they can also lose three out of their five games, next five games as well, because Kawhi Leonard may or may not play. Now, granted,
it's crazy.
I do want to talk positive about the Clippers because I've been kind of on the downside with them all year because of how they've underperformed. But, Ben, I do want to say this, and I do want to add the fact that, okay, I see you, Kawhi Leonard. Back-to-back games, 30-plus points. I see you. That's what we want to see. Now, you know I want to see it for a long experience. Period of time,
baby. Yeah,
I
need consistency, at least 10, man. That's all we need.
8 to 10 games of Kawhi Leonard playing every game. I don't care if it's a back to back or not. Trying to manage the knee, this, that, and the third. I need him to have that oomph. You know what I'm saying? That extra bounce in his game.
Yes.
Between the legs, mid range crossover that he loves so much, and he was cooking defensively against your boy.
Yeah, he was.
Luka Doncic held him under 30 points. I don't even really seen too many people hold Luka Doncic under 30 points this season. He had 29. He shot poorly from the field. He got locked down in the fourth, Ben. Kawhi Leonard was showing that superstar against superstar. You know what I'm saying? What we want to see. We saw that from the claw. So I was proud of that.
Yeah, 100%. And they're a team that you look at and you're always thinking, and this has been the MO for the Clippers, has been – you think that they're a good team. You think they can be consistently good. And then their head's not in it sometimes. Their ability's not in it sometimes. It's just they have had this identity for a long time. And I don't know if it's a coaching issue. I don't know if it's a personnel issue. I don't know what the issue is. But this has been the identity of the Clippers for 3-4 years where you're thinking, you're looking at them, you're like, they should be better. They have the talent. And then they just make boneheaded mistakes. They go on stretches where they look like they just do not care about playing basketball. But then there's other times where they look like one of the best teams in the NBA. So I don't know fully what the issue is. It's probably a combination of players and coaching, but it's not a formula to win the national championship, to win an NBA championship.
And what's funny about it too, Ben, is that, like, okay, they want to try to trade John Wall. Well, that's not going to be your answer, in my humble opinion. Because especially if you were a guy like Mike Conley. I mean, nobody want Mike Conley playing for the Clippers. But it might make sense, though, because he
fits. It kind of does make sense.
He fits the boring Kawhi Leonard and the,
that's what you need.
The second fiddle and Paul George. Maybe that might be the answer. Maybe that might work, Ben. I don't know. But I do believe this. They don't need to do none of that in terms. They don't need to do none of that in terms of trading for Mike Conley. Keep John. Keep Paul George, keep Kawhi Leonard. That should be your core in the backcourt, front court, however you want to, you know, dissect it or whatever. But that should be the answer. I don't think they need to go out and get a Michael Conley or anything like that unless you can, like, expand your bench. And I don't even know if they can do that right now with all the contracts they have with Norman Powell and Covington and Kennard and Reggie Jackson.
Who such a ragtag group of people. It's so wild.
It is.
I wonder how active they're going to be for the trade deadline. I think it's going to be interesting to see. Because if they feel like this is the team that they can make a run with, maybe they make some trades.
Well, the team across the street already did it.
Yep. Yeah, they did today. According to our Shams, Rui Hachimura, coast to coast, going from the east to the west. So I don't know how much he's going to help the Lakers. It's a trade. It's not a bad or good trade.
He's coming off a game where he had 30.
Yeah, he's got the potential. Mini Kawhi is what people called him coming to the draft.
That might be a stretch of the imagination.
The Kawhi Leonard mold. I don't know if you remember that, but people would call it that. They were comparing Rui to a guy who could turn into Kawhi.
Tough crowd. But I think
not a great look.
I think he'll provide them serviceable minutes, especially in the front court.
Yes.
And also in terms of spacing. A lot of them space.
That's what you need.
For a guy like Thomas Bryant, who played well in their last game for the Lakers. So I like the fact that he's coming along with them. Another guy who was on the Wizards.
Listen, they're getting the old Wizard team back together. It's really funny that if you're going to try to emulate any team out there, they're going back to the Wizards from 2 years ago.
Okay, a grimy, Lakers. Gritty team, I guess, in the West is what Darvin Ham wants. And so that's what it looks like they're trying to do. I can at least say this. Lakers are starting to find an identity for who they want to be, right? Come to the season, new coach. Roster, very questionable. And now you look at it, you know, they're 40-plus games in. Yeah, they're a few games under 500. But at least you know what type of team that they are. hard-nosed, gritty, grinded-out kind of games, fight right. hard to the end. They don't shoot very well, so they play tough defense.
Yes.
That sort of team is what they look for in the Lakers.
Yeah, and you know, again, and this is the thing that happens with the Lakers, too, every single year is...
Well, they're going to be better when Anthony Davis comes back.
Don't be like that.
That's every year because he gets hurt every year. He gets hurt every year, and then you look at the team and you're like, okay, they're staying afloat. They're doing all right without him. And then the thought comes up, oh, maybe this team will be really good with Anthony Davis once he comes back. He's healthy.
A lot of people did say they want to see Thomas Bryant and Anthony Davis on the
floor. Yeah, and Rui now. That's a hell of a front court. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's a front court. Thomas Bryant, Anthony Davis. You got Rui Hachimura in there. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't. See any good future from this Lakers team, even with Anthony Davis back.
Well, let me ask you this.
Can't be healthy.
Let me ask you this one question. Who do you believe will win this matchup when they face off this week?
Lakers and Clippers?
Yeah,
probably the Lakers.
Probably Lakers?
Probably the Lakers. I mean, you got to see the injury report once the game happens, but I would say probably the Lakers. I feel more inclined to trust the Lakers at this point, and I know the Clippers have won two in a row as of this recording. But they have instilled no trust in me.
Okay.
I do not think they can play well consistently right this moment. And like we said, the Lakers should probably have the Clippers record right now.
All
right. They should be 25-24.
Yeah, officiating. You're right.
Officiating some bad calls. So they are closer than I think a lot of people may guess and think. And the mm-hmm. Lakers are coming into this game a little bit more hot than the Clippers are. So over the last 10 games, I like the Lakers.
Okay.
I really do.
No, I'm going to go out on a limb. And I'm going to go with the Clippers.
Okay.
Did the Clippers take this game because of the noise about, you know, what I've been saying about they have been playing that, you know, that much together in terms of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and John Wall? I think they all play in this game against the Lakers. I think that's for the reason why they win the game. I think Norman Powell comes out. He plays well. Unless Anthony Davis is going to return, which I'm pretty confident being he doesn't supposed to return till this Friday.
Yeah.
So unless he comes back tomorrow, I will go out on a limb and say that the Kawhi Leonard-led Clippers will win that game this week against the Lakers. Now, if I'm wrong, it's because, you know, my boy King James went out there and had 40. So
yeah, he may.
We'll see what happens.
He really may.
Played out of his mind.
You just got to hope if this team does make the playoffs that you have to hope that LeBron takes some time off between now and the playoffs because
he's been on a
38, man.
Already.
He can't be. He's playing great. He's
averaging 38 great. At 38 since he turned 38.
Yeah, like he's been awesome. I haven't seen the sitting out as much as I would have expected from him this season.
Oh, yeah. He knows year that 20.
I think he knows with Anthony Davis out, he knows he has to play in order to keep this team in the playoffs.
He has to play at a high level. There are no play. He can't take any plays off offensively, defensively, throughout the course of the game because they're just going to be out of it. They were literally down to the Portland Trailblazers by 25 and had to wheel and fight their way back in that game in order to get the win.
It's kind of crazy. Did you want to mention anything else about Shannon Sharpe?
No, that's all good.
He's
taking
on the world.
Yeah, taking on the world.
He apologized today.
T. Morant, you know, they're out there bumping heads. John Morant's father.
Only in L.A. that'll happen.
Only in L.A. And then
he's a meme.
I do want to mention this though. I don't know if you saw the comments with Dylan Brooks, but he kind of went overboard. He's sitting there calling a Hall of Fame tight end a regular schmegler person.
Yeah,
he lost his mind.
Yeah, like, disrespectful.
Like Dylan Brooks in 20 years from now, unless you got like 3, 4, 5 championships and upped your scoring a ton, your athletic career could never mount to Hall of Fame tight end.
Yeah.
Shannon Sharpe.
And I just wanted to throw that out. You're right. That's true. And we got a great meme out of it in Shannon Sharpe in a terrific jacket or knitted sweater that it was. It looks great.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What's the worry?
What are you worried about?
You worry too much.
Got a couple teams we're worried about.
Slight worry. Well, yeah. It's up to you to determine where we at on the meter.
Well, let's go to the Indiana Pacers first.
Okay.
Let's go to the Midwest. The Pacers are losers of 7 straight, 2-8 in their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the biggest reason is they don't have Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah, that's true.
That is the biggest reason out there is they don't have Tyrese Haliburton, and his surrounding cast very clearly cannot deal with his absence.
It's been rough.
Which is bizarre to me that a team would struggle that much without Tyrese. And I know Tyrese has been good, and we talked about him being an all-star this season.
Yeah.
But, man, his loss has been clearly how much he impacts that team is showing.
And it's been real rough over there in Indiana because you don't know with the roster, you don't know if somebody's going to be on a move or not with
yes.
Miles Turner, which we've mentioned all season long. Same thing with Buddy Hield. My man's Benedict Mathurin has kind of fallen off a little bit in terms of the rookie of the year race. He's kind of simmered back. He's still playing well, but he hasn't made those surging offensive statistics in terms of going out there and getting like 25 and like 20 minutes, things like that. He hasn't done that as much, but that may be because they're missing Tyrese Haliburton, who makes the game easier for everybody.
He must,
the team.
I mean, he's got double-digit assists almost every night, like you said, so his passing is clearly important to that team and the spacing and what that team does. My worry level, though, is not
– No.
I don't know. It's not super high.
Is it not high because your expectations weren't as high? Talk to me.
It's a great question because I was thinking exactly through this. Like, is it good because, hey, even if they lose, they're going to get a good draft pick and that's what they want.
All
right. But then, you know, you take a check at the standings and they're right
in it. In the mix still.
They're in it. Yeah. I mean, they've lost 7 in a row and they're 23-25. They're ninth place in the East. Before this, they were really in the mix.
They were a secured playoff spot. Remember, I was talking real heavy. They were like a top six team. I said they could probably stay there. Then they go out and lose their hands and lose 7
up.
In a row.
Yeah. So my worry level is probably it's probably 5.
Five.
It's probably right in the middle because when Haliburton comes back, this team will be better.
Right.
By objectively, it's going to be a better team. They're going to be winning some games.
I agree.
Now, do they want to be a team that's 7th or 8th? Or can they get it back inside the top 7 with Haliburton? And does them losing now without Haliburton maybe make some changes where they're like, all right, we need to build some more around him. Let's make some trades at the deadline. There's a lot of different directions I feel like it could go.
Definitely can go in a multitude of directions. They could tank and just clear house.
Yeah, it's probably a 5.
Add a piece. So
it's probably a 5.
Okay, I'm going to say about a 7 for me. I got to go with a 7 because I just don't know, you know what I'm saying, with the roster currently constructed the way that it is, if they make a move and if it's a move for the worst, like they're throwing in the towel, if they're going to be sellers, then okay. But if they're buyers and they're going to get someone and try to make this playoff run, then I'm with them. Because, again, Ben, I still look at the Eastern Conference right now, and outside of maybe the first 4 spots, 5 through 12, I feel like can be fair game. Or maybe 5 through 10 in terms of seeding can be fair game.
I will say this about Indiana in terms of strength of schedule for the rest of the season. They are in the bottom 8 in terms of strength of schedule. So they have one of the easier schedules.
So it's favorable for them.
They have the 8th easiest schedule for the rest of the season for the Pacers. So if Haliburton does come back, they could make a pretty good run.
Okay.
I think, just looking at their strength of schedule. So I think that will really help them, to be quite honest.
Now the Celtics got injuries.
And they have injuries.
So what's the worry level on that? Now, you know, you got to be able to guard somebody. Now you over there shaking your head like, no, we ain't worried. They 35-12, first place, 4.5 games behind. You know, so they ain't got no worry.
You're listing all my reasons right
4
now.
4.5 game lead. I know you. They feeling they still 1-9 straight.
Yeah.
9-1 they last 10.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have no worries whatsoever without Marcus Smart being out of the lineup. I know Tatum's
been
some time.
Out, yeah.
So you have no worries for that.
No, I don't have any worries because as long as their injuries
– Marcus Smart big now.
Yeah, as long as their injuries don't go into the playoffs.
Okay, you're right.
I'm fine. I'm completely fine. I think getting the number 1 seed is a bit overrated.
Mm.
I don't even know if people overrate it, but I don't think it is that important. Coming from a guy who watched the Bulls get the number 1 seed a couple of times under Thibodeau didn't really help. I don't think getting the number 1 seed is super important. If you can get players, and I know they're hurt, but you can keep them out and make sure they're fully healthy come playoff time. The Celtics are going to make the playoffs. They are, like you said, 4.5 games ahead of the number 2 spot in the East. So even if they lose their first spot or their second spot and they drop down to 3rd or 4th, they're fine. They're going to be in the playoffs. And if they can keep their players out and they can rest them longer and get them healthy over the long term to get ready for this playoffs, they're fine. So my worry level's 2.
Okay,
probably a 2.
A 2, okay. So I would have to say for the Celtics, I'm not super worried. I'm probably where you were with the Pacers, so I'm at a 5 with the Boston Celtics.
Interesting.
Because I still think they need Marcus Smart in terms of defensively.
Yep.
And now it all depends on, like you said, the standings. If it matters to them, then I think my worry level would be a 7. I don't think it matters that much to them, so that's why I'll say my worry level is a 5 with the Celtics. Him being out, missing time, that's going to matter. Now, if Tatum's timeout is going to be extended, then that's when we may have to turn on the hazard lights
sure,
to see
100%.
What the issue is.
And also, if their record on the road was worse and terrible. You know, like the Cavs are 9-14 on the road. The Celtics are 17-7 on the road.
Oh, so they do a fairly
decent job. And they're
18-5
at home. So okay. Home court advantage won't necessarily be as important to them, I think, at least if looking through the season, that okay. it would be to like a Cavaliers team who's only lost 5 games at home this year. They've only lost 5 games at home for the Cavs. So right. clearly home court advantage will be important to that team. With the Celtics, they can play well anywhere in the NBA.
All right.
Not super worried about them dropping a couple spots. Flying under the radar, another segment. Defensive player of the year race. This might be the first time I've talked in depth about defensive player of the year in the month of January in my entire life.
That's fair. That's fine. But I just feel like this award in particular is more competitive than what we think it is right now going
okay.
in this month of January. Because remember, the first third of the year, I would say it was probably Brooke Lopez's to lose.
Seemed that way.
And like the second third of the year, it's looking like it's Trip J, Jaren Jackson Jr., the Memphis Grizzlies to lose.
Sure.
But I've been noticing recently, Ben, I've been mm-hmm. watching these Brooklyn Nets games, and that young bull, Nick Claxton,
yeah, you're
he
impressed?
Has been playing very well on the defensive side of the ball. He's been playing well in general. I think he leads the league in efficiency in terms of field goal percentage at like 72 or 73%.
Okay.
He's always around blocking shots. Like he doesn't lead the league in block shots, but he's always around blocking shots, contesting shots,
mm-hmm.
deflecting balls or anything like that. Pause. But you know, he's done he's done so well on a defensive end, and he's really upticked his production without Kevin Durant being in lineup. Mm-hmm. So I think his number at what currently I think it's plus 700 on FanDuel, or at least for Caesars, is 650 at the third best odds to win the award.
Getting some value, looking at some
might have to look at some value with Nick Claxton for Defensive Player of the Year.
It's interesting because I'm looking at their win shares, the defensive win shares for mm-hmm. these players. Desmond Bane's number one.
Okay.
I put players who have played 25 or more games just to make it fair since we're almost like 50 games through the season.
Right.
So you can't play 2 games and have an amazing defensive win share. But Desmond Bane's number one. Jaren Jackson's number two.
Nice.
Joel Embiid is number three.
Interesting, but I don't know if he's played. He's played?
Yeah, he's played 34 games.
Yeah, he's played a decent amount of games.
Giannis is fourth.
Interesting.
And Caleb Martin is fifth.
Not giving him top five for, nope, he's not on the list. He doesn't make the Defensive Player of the Year race list.
Not at all. It's interesting, but yeah, there's the top five. Dylan Brooks is number six. Memphis has three guys in the top six of defensive win shares
that's very interesting.
This season, which I thought is pretty interesting. I mean, you could look at all these different defensive numbers,
I'm
right,
going
for,
off
for
eye
players.
Test.
You're going off eye test
I'm
for Nick
going
Claxton.
Strictly off eye test. Just for all these guys, right? Jaren Jackson, he's had 2 blocks. Make sure you check out Zach Impressive 6 this week, too. We got an interesting stat in there. So my man's Jaren Jackson has 2 blocks in like 15 straight games, at least two blocks.
Yeah, I mean, it's you absurd. Look at his defensive rating. It's number 2 in the NBA for players who've played 25 or more games. It's mm-hmm. number 2, 103, and Dylan Brooks is on there as well. Caleb Martin shows up again. Great defender.
Oh, my gosh.
Giannis is up there. Brooke Lopez is up there. He makes an appearance on the defensive rating. So mm-hmm. a lot of those guys have been showing up. Manuel Quickley's up there as well.
He'll be one of those guys I think that'll make a defensive team. So I think Emmanuel Quickley will make all second team defensive team. Keep an eye out for that.
Interesting.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that.
Interesting. So, yeah, I think – if you're looking at analytics, I don't know, you're not an analytic guy.
No, I ain't.
But if the analytics would probably indicate Jaren Jackson should probably win,
Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, he's like top 3 in some pretty heavy defensive rating
funny
categories.
You say that, though, because it's like the second person who's up for the award hasn't even been mentioned out of your mouth just yet, and that's Brooke Lopez. You have not said his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, he was a little bit on the defensive rating, probably top 15, top 20.
Okay.
But I don't think the metrics super love him for defensive stuff.
That's
but
interesting.
He may, and I again, eye test is important for these people who vote.
Yeah.
They're going to be watching. So eye test is important for sure. Mm-hmm. And we've seen all the injuries and all the people out that have been on that team.
Yes.
So him being a defensive player and really holding it down defensively is important too.
Not his next one being, for never will I ever.
Yeah. Well, what are you never going to do?
Never will I ever. Hold on.
Gotta change the camera.
Yes, never will I ever bet with Jimmy Butler until he cut his damn hair, okay? Until he cut his hair. Ben, listen, I don't know
sure.
if you've seen his hair in the last game. He had a ponytail at the top of his head looking crazy, looking like my 5-year-old niece and whatnot. Like, he looked like a fool. So until he cut his hair, Ben, I'm not rolling with Jimmy Butler to do anything on the basketball floor unless it's under. Because I had him for 15 points, and he only had 12. just lousy. Just lousy play.
This is one of your, I blame the hair. This is one of your biggest old man takes I think I have ever heard in my life. To be 100% honest, you don't. You have some old man takes, but this is your oldest man take. Yeah, man. This is real 70-year-old grandpa takes that
Bro, you got going on. His hair looking silly, stupid, got a fade, got a ponytail on top of his head, looking like an ice cream cone.
Cut your hair, Jimmy.
He looking ridiculous. So until he cut his hair and actually care about basketball and focuses on how his appearance is on the floor, he already came out with the Jordan Clarkson braids like earlier in the week. Yeah. Now he come out with his hair unbraided, got the ponytail up here looking crazy.
I ain't doing it no more. I'm out.
Sound like an old dad. I'm out, you know, I respect it. I respect an old dad take. Let's go to On the Hotline. And again, give us a call, 773-273-9088, which is our number. Leave a voicemail. Leave a text. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what you want us to talk about. We got Maurice in Chicago. The Sixers are 18-4 in their last 22 games. No one's talking about it, he says.
That's interesting.
Do you agree?
I would agree with that, but I got
number
also,
two in the East.
I got to also mention this, Maurice. Now, you know how the Sixers usually do, because, yes, as my partner right here, Ben, has mentioned, they are second in the East. But what do we usually see out of this team? They come into the playoffs. They may win the first round. But then what happens? They lose that second round exit. That's usually the standard for this Philadelphia 76ers team. They haven't really made the Eastern Conference Finals since when? Since Allen Iverson? I think that's what, 2001? So it's been a very long time for them since they've reached the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, so I think they have to take that next level of approach to get to that point in their season in order for us to really take them serious. You know, they got to really go out there. James Harden can't play. Sometime-ish. Look like he won't 15 assists, but only won 12 points. He may have to be more assertive on the offensive end. Tyrese Maxey may have to be more aggressive. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I think, and the important thing is, too, you look at that over the last 22 games, and Embiid has not played in all those 22 games.
That's fair.
So the fact that they're winning a lot of these games, now, their schedule
was favorable.
A little wishy-washy. let me bring up the all remaining strength of schedule going on, because if their schedule was wishy-washy, guess what? They're number two in strength of schedule and games left. They're going to have the second hardest schedule in the NBA for the next 36 games.
So that's going to be the true test
Maurice. We're going to see. Yeah, we're going to see if Philly's got it on. Embiid needs to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tyrese Maxey. They got a really good team around him. But we're going to see what Philly's made of.
Yeah.
They play the Celtics three more times. Mm. They play the Bucks twice. They play the Nets three times. They play the Nuggets two times.
Nuggets two more times. So that means they haven't played the Nuggets yet this year. So they got their work cut out for them. Listen,
we're going to see what Philly's made of.
We're going to see what's happening. No more Charlotte Hornets. Nope. No more Detroit Pistons. And sorry, bottom feeder teams.
Yeah, look at this.
Houston Rockets. But
look at this. Since January 4th, they go Pacers, Bulls, Pistons, Thunder, Jazz.
You had to throw the Pistons in there twice.
Twice. Back to back against the Pistons. It's been a soft schedule.
Some tougher teams, some tougher opponents from the Philadelphia 76ers, Maurice. I'm sorry, player.
Maybe that's why they're not talked about as much. They're like, they got a Charmin soft schedule. Mm. Now, if they go 18-4 in their next 22 games.
Now you're talking something.
Now we're talking. We'll bring them up. Jessica Foster says, every time the Grizz talk trash, they lose. And I love this take about the Grizzlies.
Okay, why?
I love it because it's funny. We've seen the Grizzlies transform, you know, 2 years ago. I think they were the Points in the Paint podcast team 2 years ago because they were fun. They were young. They had Ja. They had fun players, fun attitude. They were the underdogs. And that was the most important part. They were underdogs. They were fun. They were beating these teams they weren't supposed to beat. Next year, again, they have the same attitude. They're still semi-underdogs. You still had some big players in the league.
Right.
And we've started seeing that phased out this year. They're the team. Number two in the West.
Yeah.
They're the team.
They're one of the top teams. They're the hunted.
So they start talking trash like they're the team that everyone thinks is just a young, up-and-coming team. But they're not that team anymore.
Right.
And so when they talk trash, it almost looks like they're too arrogant.
Mm.
And then they lose.
And then they lose.
Because they are now the hunted and not the hunters anymore.
Listen, Friday night, they were winning. And it's like Michael Jordan said, right? It's easy to talk trash when you win it, right?
Yeah, it's super easy.
Easy to talk and, you know, do all that rah-rah when you win it. But where that noise and where that energy at when you lose it? See, LeBron got tired of Desmond Bane. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that too, but he tired of the antics. He tired of Desmond Bane getting a couple jumpers, getting a couple shots, and he get to talking outside of his neck. LeBron tired of that, so he had to let him know to shut it up, shut it down. Then he come down next play, dunk the ball on Jaren Jackson, the guy who lead the league in blocks. He come down and just posterize
him.
Put him on a poster. So Maybe they have to humble themselves degrees just a tad bit.
They're still playing well.
I know they ain't running from the smoke in the chimney, but they may have to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing well is the other thing. You know, you can't argue with success at this point. They're second in the West.
Mm-hmm.
They're still 4.5 games in front of the third-place team, the Sacramento Kings. Mm. So they are winning.
All right.
But I think it is funny that every time they do, like every time them talking trash makes the news and makes people's timelines, they blow it.
They do blow it.
You know, stay a little more humble.
That's my old man take. They might have to stay humble.
Stay humble. Grizzlies. Stop showing off. Stop showboating.
But I think if they talk trash tonight against the Kings, according to this podcast,
yeah,
I think they're going to lose. I'm rolling with the Kings. Rolling with the Kings. You'll see it on TikTok later on today. And that's going to conclude this edition of the Points of the Pay podcast.
Amazing.
Yeah, it got to be on TikTok. I'm so sad.
Go visit Zach's TikTok.
I hate it. He's a content creator now, folks.
Content creator Zach.
773-273-9088. That's how you reach this podcast, by voicemail or text message at Points Paint, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's how you reach us. Get back to us. Give us some feedback on our content. We would love it and appreciate it. To give us 5 stars, not 4 stars. You give us 4 stars, you are hating on the pod. So make sure you rate and review and subscribe to the Points in the Paint podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And you will hear from us next week.